Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, please. Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy in whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. And maybe we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his own precious word. The psalmist could say, As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Yet that is not something that comes to man naturally. We know, of course, from Romans chapter 3, in our natural state, that there is none that seeketh after God. However, it should be something that is true of us as his people. It is certainly something that the Lord himself looks for. You consider what the psalmist could say in Psalm 53 and verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And in Moses, we see this manifested. He had a heart for God. He had a longing to know him and a desire to please him. The previous chapter, of course, details for us the sin of the nation. We were considering that. The sin of the golden calf. Yet mercifully they had been spared from the divine wrath being poured out upon them. But while they were to go forward toward the land that God had promised, and while he would send his angel before them, as we read here in the words of verse 2, yet he indicates that he would no longer be in their midst because of the rebellious nature. You look at the words of verse 3. For it says, upon a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And so they were spared from God's wrath and poured out. In that he said to Moses, I will raise up another nation. And God pleaded for the nation in chapter 32. But yet here, there are the consequences of their sin. And they would go onward. They would be sent an angel, but God's presence wouldn't be in their midst. And what they were commanded to do was to remove their ornaments. In other words, they were to remove that which may have been a temptation for them to repeat the same sin as they did with the golden calf. Remember we read how they brought their gold and their bracelets and all of that, and the golden calf was formed. And here they were commanded to remove all their ornaments. And the response of the children of Israel at hearing the news that God would no longer be in their midst seems to be a genuine repentance. Because we read in the opening verses there of this chapter that they mourned. And furthermore, they also obeyed the command to remove their ornaments. Verse 6, the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. They were obedient. There was repentance. And as far as Moses was concerned, he pitched the tent outside the camp for any who desired to offer sacrifice or to express their desires of God's favor. And they would come out from the camps and they would go to this tent and they would seek the Lord. I suppose it's a little prelude to the tabernacle itself. And when Moses went out, the people observed his every move. They stood at their tent doors. They saw the cloudy pillar that overshadowed the door of the tent. And we have those lovely words that the Lord talked with Moses, verse 9. Or look at verse 11. He spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Isn't that lovely? Just a mortal man like us. Yet the Lord spoke unto him as a friend to a friend. What follows is another occasion where the spirit of prayer is revealed in the life of Moses. We've seen something of that in the last chapter. He doesn't just pray for the people, as we noted in the last time, but this time, while he has a concern about them, and he has a concern about their relationship with God, he also is found seeking the Lord about his own spiritual life. In other words, he is found personally to be panting after God. May it be said of us, dear people, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face. I tell you, we need to be, although it doesn't look like it at times. But we need to be that generation that seek after God, that seek His face. I want you to see just a few thoughts here in these verses. I want you to see, first of all, his confession. This seeking heart of Moses evidenced that God was at work in him. And the more that he worked, then the more that he panted after the Lord. You consider with me verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee. Here's Moses in his prayer. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. The Lord had indicated that his presence would be withdrawn from the midst of them. That is, the cloudy pillar by day and by night would no longer be provided. And so Moses seeks that divine light might be given him. In some form or another, he needed light. And he knew that only God could give that. He prays, show me now thy way. His confession is one of lacking of discernment. He knew his limitations. He acknowledges freely his ignorance. All was darkness to him apart from the light that God gave. And Moses wasn't happy to accept the dark situation around him. He needed God to show him the way. And in like manner, we should not be satisfied with our lack of discernment in these days or with our spiritual ignorance. Would we not say that we would desire to be like the men of Issachar? And it has been often quoted, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. They had a discernment. They understood what was going on. To know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. There's just a little band, a little remnant. There wasn't a great number of them. But they had understanding of the times. And you know, it's a blessed thing to have discernment of what is happening around us. Not just to have the blinkers on and to see a little bit in front of us, just our own little corner, but to have that discernment that is broad in our vision. It's good to pray for spiritual discernment. I tell you, we need to pray for those in leadership over us that they might have spiritual discernment. There's more to the Christian life than just going through the motions of some religious exercise. Our need is for God's light and truth to show us the way. Moses confessed his lack of discernment. He also confessed here his lack of direction. The pillar of cloud by day was also a means of directing the nation of Israel. Wherever the fiery pillar went, wherever the cloudy pillar went in the daytime, they just followed. If that was withdrawn, then so was their guidance along with it. And Moses acknowledges in his praying that he did not know the way. He needed God to lead them. The flock of God needed to the leading of the shepherd. That shepherd who leads in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. We need that same leading and guidance. Dear people, by ourselves we'll go astray. Hymn writer captures it. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. May we realize that sometimes God uses the difficult circumstances to cause us to seek Him for it, to seek His guidance. The psalmist could cry in Psalm 43, in the words of verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacle. Is that our confession tonight? Let me show you also His desire. You look again at the words of verse 13. You'll see that while He prayed for the people, yes, He had an interest in their relationship with God. But for the present, He's speaking about Himself. He was interested in His own relationship with the Lord. And that is why He prays as He does in verse 13. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. I may know thee. That doesn't mean he didn't know God. You just say today, well, don't think that boy knows the Lord. Don't think that woman knows God. In the context of salvation, that's not what it means here. But what it does mean is his desire was to know him more intimately. Someone said, and I quote, the measure of a man's desire to know God is an index of his spiritual stature. It's an index of his spiritual stature. No one else could pray this prayer for Moses. No one else could cause this desire for Moses. It was a personal matter, that I may know him. And just think that when God called him out of the burning bush, he responded personally. Exodus 14 and the words of verse 4 also says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? He responds personally at the bush. At Rephidim, he again is found to ask the Lord, what shall I do unto this people? And now he must personally seek to know the Lord. Men and women, it is a privilege to be able to pray for others. And that's why it's such a blessing to come to the midweek prayer meeting, or to any prayer meeting for that matter, public prayer meeting. Because we congregate with those of like precious faith. We have the same yearning and desire to pray for those, especially without Christ, without God's salvation. And God blesses us. And it's a blessing to pray for others. And it's also a blessing that others pray for you. And no doubt you have, as I have at times, where the chin is down, or maybe it's a difficult time, and someone's coming alongside, I'm praying for you, brother. And what a comfort and what a blessing that is. But when it comes to having that deeper knowledge of God, then it is something that we must pray for ourselves. Each individual is to pant after God. We can come and collectively offer our prayers unto the Lord. And that's a blessing. That's what God would desire us to do. But we must individually pant after the Lord. I wonder, have you this longing in your soul tonight to know Him? A desire that was also found within the Apostle Paul after many years on the mission field, Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. The same desire was in the heart of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, for she said, I will rise now and I will seek Him whom my soul liveth. Or loveth, I should say. The truth that we can glean from these examples is that a lifetime of knowing Christ cannot exhaust His person. We're always learning. No matter how long you're on the road, no matter where you are in life's journey tonight, there's always more to learn of Christ. Moses had that longing to have that closer relationship with the giver of all blessings. He wanted to experience the provider of all things. Wonder, can I ask tonight, how well do you know the Lord? Do you just want His blessings? Or do you have this desire to know the One who blesses and the One who gives us all good things? As we continually long to know Him, then we are continually brought to know Him more. And we know that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That was Moses' desire. You'll see also here his petition. Just look again at the words of verse 13. Toward the end, for it says, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. You see the little word consider. It's usually translated see or behold. In fact, if you lift your eye just a couple of verses upward to verse 12, you see where Moses begins to speak unto the Lord. It starts like this. See. Thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. That word is exactly the same word as consider in verse 13. And his petition was that I may find grace in thy sight. As he yearned for more outpourings of God's grace personally, so his heart also yearned for divine manifestations of grace in the lives of the people. He wanted God to consider or to look, to see them favorably. And so he prays that God would identify with this nation as one body. Lord, look upon them. Look upon this nation as thy people. And that also shows us, of course, that Moses was reminding God that they were his people. You remember how previously it said the same thing? Hey, turn back to Exodus 32, verse 11. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? It's not Moses' people, as we brought out there in previous verses. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 7, go get thee down for thy people. And Moses says, Lord, they're not mine, they're thine. They're thy people. And again, in the praying of chapter 33, he brings out the very same thought. They were thy people. And now that God spoke of withdrawing His personal presence, He pleads with God to see the nation as His people. And God was to answer that prayer. The Lord God was to give those special words that we know in verse 14. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." It amounts to a wonderful promise. A promise not only to Moses and the nation, but, dear people, is it not a wonderful promise? Is it not blessed food for our souls tonight as we journey on toward heaven, that the Lord has said of His people, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Moses could only respond, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." The presence of God, you see, was what distinguished them as His people. Verse 16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." You see, that was which distinguished them, which set them apart from all the Canaanite tribes, because God's presence was with them. "My presence shall go with thee." And it's still the same to this night. That's what distinguishes us from the world, because we have God's presence with us. We have the indwelling Spirit in our heart. And Christ, of course, promised as a result of His work at Calvary. God granted him that petition. As we see in verse 17, the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." It was that which distinguished him. The one, you see, who seeks God is rewarded. And Ezra could testify of that. Ezra chapter 8, in the words of verse 22, it simply says this: "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." That's why he didn't need the soldiers. Because he had testified, the hand of the Lord, their God, was upon them. His petition. One final thought. That is his vision. Moses had been, of course, in God's presence on Mount Sinai. He'd heard the thunderings, seen the fire, felt the quaking of the mountain. He understood something of the power of his God. But he still prayed that he'd be able to see something of the vastness of his God. You look at verse 18. He said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." He's speaking with the Lord as a friend to a friend. And there's conversation that we've made our way down through those verses, and he comes now and he says, "Lord, show me thy glory." That was a large petition. But you know, large petitions honor the giver and are honored by him. And because the Lord has said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart," that large petition was also granted with an immediate view of God. And so we have it in verse 19. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy in whom I will show mercy." Moses had to understand that to see the glory of God was to see His goodness. Indeed, if you look at the closing words of verse 19, Moses was also to recognize that to see the glory of God creates in the seeking heart a greater awareness that God is sovereign, that He possesses all authority and He can do and He can will that which He pleases. For He said, I'll be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's God's prerogative. There's His authority. But learn from this, men and women, that the glory of God can be seen. And we are privileged because we can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see me, you've seen the Father, He taught. But because we fail to seek, that's what we've been looking at tonight, seeking God. Because we fail to seek God, then we also miss out on the glory. Because man cannot see God's face and live, the Lord God was to arrange a way in which Moses would get a glimpse of it. And it detailed for us in verse 22, shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The person of God is so immense that our finite minds are incapable of fully understanding Him. We in the flesh, in these non-glorified bodies, are not capable of receiving a full revelation of God's person. And Moses was able, because God hid him in the cleft of the rock, to see a partial unveiling of God's glory. And so, men and women, because we live in a fleshly body, we can only perceive a measure of God's glory. What glory we see it in Christ. For it's in this rock alone upon which we stand tonight can the perfection of God be realized. And you know, there's a great truth that I put it to you, very few people think about. The immensity of God. There's no fear of God in our land. There's not the fear of God in the hearts of God's people tonight. Because we don't consider how immense God is. Moses desired to see His glory. God hid him. The cleft of the rock withdrew His hand and He had a partial revelation. And you know, dear people, it means that our vision, as it was for Moses here, our vision is limited at the moment. But the day is coming when it won't be. 1 Peter 4, Peter brings it out. In the words of verse 13, he says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Paul could say right into the church at Corinth, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. What will it be when around His throne we behold Him in all His glory, unhindered, unlimited, a perfect vision? But in the meanwhile, let me have those seeking hearts as Moses did, that are able to catch glimpses of God's glory, and we're able to see more of Christ. and even at times prolonged periods of His majesty, just as Moses did. Charles Simeon said this: if we account Moses happy when favoured with this transient visions of God, what shall we be when around His throne we behold Him in all His glory? Hard to take in? There's the vision. There's the vision that Moses desired, to see the glory of God. Dear people, if I can say in closing just this: always seek to have that lofty view of God. That lofty vision. For that's what's wrong with Christendom today. One of the things, at least, it doesn't have a high view of God. And where there's a low view of God, there's a low view of sin as well. But oh, may the Lord be pleased to show us more of Himself in the person of Christ. We might see His glory. We might desire this. We might have this vision. And our petition would be as that of Moses. May the Lord bless His word even to our hearts tonight, for His own name's sake.